are in the thickest of the WrestleMania build right now. I think right now we are, what, 12 days away? 11 days away, something like that. And typically around this time, if this was like regular pay-per-view, they would be trying to sell the pay-per-view. Something I thought about, E, this was like back in the day when it was like the WCW-WWF war. They would buy time on Nitro commercial breaks, and they would buy time on Raw commercial breaks, and you'll see the opposite company's commercial, you know, turn the channel right now and watch blah, 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 which used to be cool as hell. But if right now you were running AEW, okay, and you get to buy a 30-second clip on Raw or SmackDown, you get to pick one woman and one man from AEW to put in that commercial. Who are you picking?
The first person is Mercedes Moné.
I had her as mine.
You got to be number one because she's somebody that the universe is familiar with, that had passion for, right? She was popular there. Yep. And it might be a lot of wrestling fans because Matt and I, you know, we know there's a lot of people who only watch WWE. They only know WWE, so they may not have known where the hell she was. I remember back in the day, I was telling Matt, like, there was like, I think it was RVD or somebody. They was over in TNA, and he said, he said in an interview, he was like, one of the fans was like, hey, where you been all this time? He had been in TNA for like 2 years at this point. Like, wow. Right, they had no idea what a man. So Mercedes is number one. And then who's my next biggest draw? I'm going Swerve Strickland. Because I would say John Moxley, but John Moxley is so ice cold. I think if you could think about two wrestlers who are like ice cold right now, I think it's either John Moxley or Charlotte. I can't decide which one. But
Charlotte got a lot of heat around her.
I might go, But I think it's that ice cold heat. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like the hell is cold.
Like, yeah, type, so hot type is cold.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
As soon as you touch it. And we're gonna get to, of course, Charlotte and Tiffany. Absolutely. That's one of the major stories probably of the pod. I am locked in with you with Mercedes. And that was the same reason. Somebody say, oh damn, Sasha Banks is on this, you know, wrestling program. My guy though would be Ospreay. And just because I think he's the most gifted wrestler they have, if you can put, you know, a 30-second reel in front of WWE fans that have never seen AEW before, I would pick him. But, yeah, I think it's those two for sure.
Hey, you know what, though? Like, I feel like, all right, so what, Will Ospreay, I think you have to experience him. I think you have to see, like, a match or something. I don't know if 30 seconds is enough. Because, like, you see high spots. Like, well, I guess we're going to get to it right at some point. But Phoenix, he's doing some shit that, you know, you haven't seen on a WTV before, yeah. Right? Like, so they're used to seeing some spectacular shit, even for 30 seconds. I feel like if you put Swerve and Nana doing that dumbass dance with the music, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have nothing like that you can show a quick, like, something they've never seen before, right? From a very popular character on their show. I think if you got 30 seconds, you got, like, a familiar face and you got something brand new.
Okay. And of course, if you guys are watching on YouTube or listening, send it to us. I'd be interested to see what you guys think also. And even if you want to do the opposite side, if you're watching AEW, if AEW was number one and you had to put two people from WWE on their TV commercial, who would it be?
Let's take your pick.
Yep. I would go Rhea and what guy would I pick? Maybe, oh, that's a good one. I don't know what guy I would pick.
Brother.
For an AEW audience.
This is what I'm talking about the Cody hate on this show with you two. Cody, how are you not going to put a Cody Rhodes on a 30-second AEW slot? Of course they know who he's there, but man, he was the face of that company, and now he's like the most popular wrestler? Of course you're going to put Cody in Rhea.
The mindset, the mentality for me would be because they already know he's there. That he's been in AEW already. Hey, now, if he wasn't in AEW.
They know everybody's there, man.
I know. That's why it was so hard. That's why I was like, okay, I got to go Rhea just in case somebody. And like maybe Bron Breakker for the guy. I don't know. But to your point, yeah. That one's hard to kind of figure out. Because like you would think they know everybody. What was I watching on Dynasty? Somebody came out. And they started doing, they were doing the UK wrestler's chance from like Raw and SmackDown for one of the wrestlers in Dynasty. I was like, see, people who go to the shows watch both for the most part. It's the crazy people online that don't. Let's get to it, brother. It is episode 195. We are only two of us tonight. I am your host, Matt, joined by my co-host, Ishan. Rhodesia is not with us right now. I don't know if she'll be able to join us. She got some things to do outside the pod. So if she can get on, fantastic. If she cannot get on, you guys will hear from her next week for the WrestleMania preview show, which we still got to figure out our schedule for next week. We got a lot going on, and we got to figure out what we want to do and how many shows we're going to drop. So we will take care of that soon for you guys. But this is the TFW podcast, and this is episode 195. Don't know if I said that yet. But shout out to everybody who listens and supports. We appreciate you guys. So do you want to just go in chronological order? Because we got a lot to get to. You want to start with SmackDown and talk about the beautiful fuckery that was? Look, or
it's, since it's boys only crew today, I think we should go ahead and drop whatever we think is hot on the mind. Like whatever you think is important right now, which, because we ain't talked about wrestling all week. I've been super busy all week, honestly. I tried to cram as much as I could. And today I got my mom from out of town. Busy work week, so I've been cramming wrestling as I talked about it. So yeah, whatever, what's hot for you, brother? What you want to talk about?
I thought about you throughout the entire segment, because a couple weeks ago I asked and I said, is this good TV? Is this what you want? And you were hell bent against going out there and shooting this shit when it comes to a WrestleMania storyline. So when shit hit the fan on Friday, I could only think about you. Because I was like, I am sure he is saying right now to himself, this was the fuck I was talking about 2 weeks ago. What a fucking disaster.
In all, you know, it's funny. I actually
best and worst ways.
I've heard it was bad, but I just saw it. Today is Tuesday. I just saw it this afternoon.
And what do you think?
What a train wreck. It was everything everyone said it was. Like, and I'm not saying, like, I can listen to other people's opinion and not affect me. Because okay. I feel like I floated my own. I got my own little tune in my head, right? So, like, okay. I can't listen to people's opinion and it don't affect mine. But, yeah. I'm like, this is exactly why I didn't want to put these two together. This was exactly why.
I knew it. Like I said, when I saw it, dude, I was like, one. So, I'm watching this really uncomfortable. But you're watching because I know what they're out there to do, and it wasn't getting done. So, it was super uncomfortable to watch. But then, of course, I thought about you, and I started laughing to myself. And I was like, in this particular instance, Ishan is 100% right. Because this is not good TV. This is not helping anybody else. And it was interesting because it felt like the segment was set up for Tiffany to look strong again.
Yeah, to look shine. Yeah.
Yep. And you could tell those lines she had in her head was still there, which is fine. Like, you don't have to freestyle a wrestling promo. But watching her pace, she looked like a rookie battle rapper. Like, she was pacing on the one side of the ring, and she hit her line, and then she would kind of reset her body, and then she hit her line again. She had some good lines, but I'm watching it, and I'm just like, I know this is not going according to plan, because it was just in disarray. Like, there was, and then Charlotte quits mid promo, which I gotta, if we were grading, Charlotte's disqualified. She just put the mic down, was like, you can say whatever you want to say. Just go ahead and go. I thought that was interesting. We wanted to talk about it like on a, you know, deep dive wrestling. But the line about Charlotte being 0-3 in marriages. And you can go wherever you want to, you know, after this question. But is that off limits for you, Ishan, watching the show and you grading it from a all fair and love and war? Or nope, I think this should never be brought up in a promo. I don't think this should be done in wrestling. Where did that land on your moral compass?
You know, when you talk about entertainment, it's almost like comedy. Like, right? I almost feel like nothing is off bounds as long as it's a conversation. Like, right? I think at this point, I think it's be professional. We're putting on a TV show. Like, right? Hey, what are you comfortable with? Aren't you comfortable with? So if they have a quick conversation, it doesn't have to be, I know every single thing you're going to say. But like, give me like, hey, Matt, is there anything that's off off limits. Anything off limits. Like, right, if you say no, okay, boom. Now, when we go out there and I spit my line, I don't want to hear it. Because I gave you an opportunity to give yourself an out. If they had a quick conversation, yo, is there anything that you don't want to hear out there? Like, oh yeah, the divorce is still sensitive. Can we not talk about that? Right? Okay, cool. Now she goes out there. Now it's a problem. Like, right, I got a problem with you. But I don't think that they out there shooting like that. I think it became a shoot at some point, and I think it seemed like Charlotte started to shoot, not Tiffany.
It felt like that. It feels like that. Not felt like that. It feels like that, but it feels like that from a before Friday, it wasn't personal. Right? Even if Charlotte was like, I'm going to come out here, I'm going to expose Tiffany for not being ready. I'm tired of, maybe in her mind, if she's saying this, I don't think she is, but if she says, you know what, I'm tired of people comparing me to her, I'm expose her and show that she's not on my level. That's professional. Friday night turned personal. And if we're talking about Charlotte and Tiffany, I don't think they had that conversation, E. I don't think they had the conversation of backstage when they're getting their hair and makeup done. Like, hey, what's off limits? This has been building for weeks. And then, of course, the reports come out afterwards. Same shit we've been talking about on here. You know, the first segment kind of went off the rails a little bit. This one absolutely came off the rails. They said they didn't even hit the majority of the lines that was already talked about. So it shows that what I was saying in terms of this isn't selling anything. It helped from a hype perspective. Everybody's talking about it. And this is now one of the matches I'm looking forward to the most, because I'm interested to see either this match is going to suck because they can't work together, or this match is going to be fantastic. So one of the two is going to happen. I don't think this one's going to be in between. Either it's going to be one of the best nights or matches of the weekend, or we could be looking at it like we were looking at Jimmy and Jay last WrestleMania. But so I don't think they had that conversation. So she hit the line. And then, of course, Charlotte quips back about Kaiser's in my DMs. And they said Tiffany rolled out of the ring to make sure there was no more interactions or it didn't go to the next level. So she just kind of like exited stage left.
But, you know, let's walk through it, though, real quick, though. Because, okay, like, right, if you look at the promo, like, I watched it. Probably I was looking for it because I heard all the back and forth about it. But, right, so Charlotte comes out there, and she's cutting her promo, and the crowd is immediately, right? Because, like, Tiffany, I don't remember at this point if she started the promo with Charlotte, right? But at this point, it seemed like it was more of a scripted affair, right? Charlotte goes to start talking, and the crowd is letting her have it,
yeah,
right? They're giving her that go-away heat. Right, and they're trying to drown her out. Like, right, and she seemed like she was fazed by it.
She was.
Like, she wasn't expecting the heat. Like, right now, she's up. She's a heel. Like, right? So in a lot of ways, you would think she's getting what she wants, right? Because she's getting a reaction. Like, right, she's a heel. They're giving her heel heat. They're booing her. Like to me, she seemed uncomfortable with the amount of heat that she had in the moment, which I felt was very strange.
So you say she was uncomfortable with the heat. I think she was uncomfortable with how long the boos were. They weren't stopping. And now there's a flaw in Charlotte's game, because I truly don't believe she got thrown off because they booed her. That kind of now maybe tells me that she may have an issue in her promo game, where when the crowd does that, and they're going to, depending on, I don't know how hot the crowd is going to be, you know, Friday night on SmackDown, that she comes out and cuts a promo. But if this was to continue, she'd have figured it out. But this tells me she doesn't know how to do that, because you can see she was flustered. And then she went to start, and then she started again. They wouldn't let her talk. She tried to talk over it. Then Tiffany kind of jumped in on her. And then when she tried to talk again, they came at her even more. And, like, she tried to wait it out a little bit.
So you're saying she's not professional, right? That's what you're saying at this point, right? Because you think about it, the heat. Like, right, look at, like, Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right, this is Dominic. And Dominic has been in the business, I don't know how long, right? But Charlotte's been there longer.
Right.
And he handles it better than him. You think of the New Day. Like, that was a whole, like, I think the, like, you know, Kofi and Xavier, if you look at their promos, they were intentionally trying
seeking
to get
it.
Those kind of.
They were seeking
yeah,
it.
They were seeking them to overtalk them, right? Yep. They would say something and then they would stop. Why won't you let?
Yep.
Boo.
Right.
I can't believe you. Boo. Like, they're feeding into it,
yeah,
right? So you mean tell me that a 20-year veteran like Charlotte doesn't know what to do with that moment, that she's never had this type of heat, that she didn't know what to do with it. Like, to me, I gotta be honest with you. If you, this is a performer's dream to have that type of heat. The fact that she didn't know what to do with it and she got flustered by it. And this is for me, when, as I'm watching it, like, I don't know about the real life. If they had, if Charlotte and Tiffany had real life heat, they got it now. And I felt like what Charlotte did was unprofessional, because it seemed like, and again, I don't know specifically what went off rails or whatnot, but I would say with Charlotte, is she tried to go into business for herself, try to get over with the crowd.
At which point? Was there a certain part in the promo you're like, all right, there she go with that bullshit, or looking so when back she
started,
at it now?
When she started cutting off, you know, Tiffany, you know, in her promo, like, right? Nipple queen! And she started, like, mocking her voice and that kind of shit. Like, you know, you can tell at some point where, like, if there was a script in her mind, she was like, shh, and she just started freestyling.
Yeah.
Right after.
Which one?
Who? Charlotte. So, okay. Right when she quit, right? So, when they kept booing her and she took a step back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in some ways, you do take a step back. You embrace the hate. You embrace the hate. And she's like, hey, you know what, Tiff? Go ahead and say what you got to say. Because you know what? I can't talk right now. Like, they're booing me. Yeah. I don't know what to say. You go ahead and hit your line. Like, right? Okay. At that moment, the mental script that she had went out the window. And now everything Charlotte's doing, she's ad-libbing.
Well, she was. She was, for sure. Good call on that part. Because I forgot that part about her screaming at her. What a fucking disaster. Like I said, in all the right ways and all the wrong ways. Because I am now, that is probably a top three match I'm looking forward to on WrestleMania. But so we get to the business. And like I said, word backstage is, you know, it was hostile. Not many points that they wanted to get out that was pre-written was even said in the promo. Once again, so we're going to assume Tiffany, the whole point was maybe to end with some physicality, but Tiffany was going to walk away looking like she was the better woman in this exchange, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and you know what? I think she did.
So you think it happened anyway?
I think it happened anyway. I think with that exchange, and I think that, so like, again, I think that Charlotte, she started ad-libbing after that. After she couldn't talk and she took a step back, she just started saying what she wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that Tiffany, right, because she started fumbling her lines, she's trying to go off, do the script.
Right.
Now, what I would imagine, and I don't know for sure, right? Now, mm-hmm. I can imagine that they have two different writers. Like, right? So maybe Charlotte doesn't know what Tiffany's writer has instructed for her to say. But I feel like Tiffy's is still going off strip. She's still trying to be professional because, too, she's young in the business. Like, right? Yes, she's the world champion. But sometimes, like, when you're new, you don't like rocking the boat too much. Mm-hmm. Like, you try to kind of follow the teal, right? So in this moment, she's following her lines, and I felt like it landed better. I felt like Charlotte seemed like she obviously seemed flustered.
Right.
She obviously seemed flustered, and she just was out there just, at that point, you know, it's kind of like, she's like one of them kids, you know, someone cracks a good joke, and their best reply is, I know I am. But it's like, I know you are, but what am I?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what she started doing. I know you are, but what am I? Yo, mama. That's what she started doing. Yo, mama. Oh, characters in my DMs.
Yeah.
Like, don't know, like the probably half the audience don't even know that they were even together. Like, right? They're not together on TV.
And that's why, that line hit,
it was flat.
But for me, when she hit the line, the first thing I thought was, just because of what you just said, I was like, oh shit, did he? Because of just that, I'm like, nobody really, I mean, people know, but it's not like, you know, he's a major star, like where that line would have been like, oh. So when she said it, I was like, oh shit, is Kaiser really in Flair's DM? Which we'll never know. But
that was like that Shawn Michaels, Shawn Michaels Sunny Days comment, right?
She had that line ready. So do you, overall thoughts now about the match? Do you feel any differently about your excitement level?
Absolutely. Good or bad? I don't think there's any chance it's going to be a good match. And not even from a, like, they got heat perspective.
Okay.
I got to be honest, man. Like, look, I feel like Charlotte is the one of those wrestlers that I don't think she can carry people to a good match. I feel like she has to be in there with somebody that's really talented. I feel like when I watch her wrestling, like, if somebody's not at her level, she either gets complacent or she kind of withdraws a little bit.
Man, you are on my girl's head, dude. So think about all those matches she had. Hell, the match she just had, I'm about to call her Brianna again, B-Fab. You didn't think that match was really good?
I thought it was good. And I think it was a testament to B and how hard she worked. Now, did Charlotte, the veteran, you know, lead her in that match? Absolutely. But I think there was a couple of spots that, you know, that Charlotte kind of left her ass laying in a couple of moments. I can't think of them on top of my head, but it's some of them things to where I feel like you can do a better job of covering up for some flaws or like some light that she didn't.
I just remember, did you get any feels when her and Jade went face to face?
Oh, yeah, we talked about last week.
That wasn't 2 weeks ago? That wasn't this past Friday?
No. I fast forward through that part. I know last week, right, when Jay was walking away and Charlotte was into the ring, right?
Okay, I thought that was okay. All right, I'm mixing the weeks up. Okay, I thought that was this past Friday. So, whatever. Yeah, I'm more excited for it. I'm ready for it. So, we had that on SmackDown. Of course, we had the favor reveal. So let's talk a little bit about this. So I forgot. Shout out to Brandon. Brandon shot me a text. He was listening to the pod, and he was like, "Damn, man, you called that months ago." I forgot. I called it. I know you brought it up last week on the pod of you. That's what you think the favor is. Like, they can't make a favor important enough to main event night one where it wouldn't not make sense and et cetera, et cetera. Brandon was like, "Yeah, you called it a few months ago." When I was like, "Okay, I do remember saying that." I think when it was first announced, but on a whole. The favor sucks in a time capsule, right? In a time capsule. So when Punk said the favor and the show is over, I'm like, that sucks. Just in that second, that sucked. Little Matt, he liked it. What I do like, though, E, is of what this can turn to be. But not at WrestleMania. You know, is it to the build to Survivor Series? Is it next year's Royal Rumble? Like, that's what is going to make that favor fun. Because is it that Heyman goes with Punk? Is it that Heyman goes back to Roman? Is it that Heyman goes with Seth and they tease that on Raw Monday night? That's the fun part about it. But as a whole, that shouldn't create anything different in the match. Heyman typically doesn't get involved in matches. So it's not like he's a heavy where he can destroy one of the guys in the triple threat match. He's just a body at ringside. So that was for me, I was like, okay, I'm disappointed. Cause I thought they were going to figure out a way to make this bigger than life. And they didn't. But I do want, and of course you can talk about any part of the promo that you want to, but what I do want to ask you is, does this change the perception of Roman Reigns and or CM Punk at all? In the mind of the fan, not us hardcore super critical fan, your casual fan who maybe watches WrestleMania every year and one other show or one other PLE, if they see that Paul Heyman decided to be with CM Punk, do they care at all? Does it change their perception of anything?
I say yes and no. Yes and no. I think that, as you said, it's not a game. I don't feel like it's a game changer in itself, right? And in a lot of ways, it couldn't be. Mm-hmm. Like, right? It just wouldn't have made sense that Paul Heyman would have any kind of stroke to make this, you know, to get CM Punk in some type of a match or to make it more than what it could be. But it, as you said, it creates like a storyline element. And I think they did a great job on Raw to kind of maybe Paul Heyman might be part of this finish. Like, right? Who is he going to side with? And I think Seth did a really good job of trying to create some concern for Paul. Now, he threatened him a little bit, right? But that's okay.
A lot of bit.
That's okay, because Roman threatens him all the time, too, and he's still loyal to him, so right? So at this point, like, the question mark going into this match is, like, who is Heyman going to side with? Like, right? Is he going to turn his back on Punk and Roman? And Seth laid out a very nice submission statement for him. Like, look, Roman hasn't had your back. He just uses you. CM Punk left you for years, never brought you back. Like, man, hey, come join the winning team. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it could be one of those things to where the fan might think, like, oh, who is Heyman going to side with? Is he going to side with Punk? Like, right? Is he going to side with Roman? Is he going to side with Seth? Is he going to turn? Maybe that could be a question. But I say, I'd say this. I still don't see how this is a WrestleMania main event. There's WrestleMania main eventers in the match, but damn, I can't believe it's not for a championship. And it can't, and like the biggest draw in the match can't be who does Heyman side with.
And that's there. You and that's there. It is. That is my big issue with the favor. Is that because it doesn't matter? Like, we get it from a personality and a storyline, and it's professional wrestling and it's a soap opera. We get all that if you want to go that way with it. But meat and potatoes, this is real life WrestleMania night one or night two main event. And that's what I'm watching the main event at WrestleMania for. Is that just who Heyman's going to be with? Now, once again, should be fantastic television and stories after WrestleMania. But
the long-term story is going to be good. Story is really be really good. But for a WrestleMania match, that's the hook.
Yep,
like,
exactly.
That's the big thing.
Right. So Roman's going to be on Raw Monday, which is cool. The memes were going crazy about he's been on TV like four times, like the last whatever. It was like, that man's going to be on PTO until Survivor Series. They said he's skipping SummerSlam. He has so much elongated PTO. God bless, man. But it was still a great, fun segment in its own right. I am looking forward to the match, but we need some shenanigans. The Rock, we know he's going to be involved in that. He'll be involved in night two. But you got Heyman. Like, I need the bells and whistles. I need the Roman typical main event where everybody and their mama shows up, just because they got to give us something to where at the end of night one. And then something could just be Heyman and Seth. You know, like, they got to tell that story if they wanted to do that. But I just want a major moment. When you look at those three in a match, I want it to be, we remember it and say, man, I remember this for a long time. So we'll see. We'll see if they get to that point.
They are telling some nice stories with it, right? I do like the story they're starting to tell with Heyman and who's he going to side with. I like that they added Seth into the equation. Because, you know, when you watch SmackDown, he seemed like he's kind of the odd man out of that, right? It seemed like it was more of the issue between Punk and Roman, and they had the issue, and Seth was on the sideline. Then on Monday, he inserted himself right back into it. Long-term story, there's a lot to go on with the three of them, or just the two of them, right? Yeah. They can break out a lot of different stories. Just not for WrestleMania, man. And I don't know where we're going next, but to me, I got to tell you, I still kind of wish that Jane Guther was our main event for night one.
Shit, especially after Monday night. Mm-hmm. We can go there right now if you want.
Let's do it.
We back. I said it when Jimmy slapped Guther, you know, a couple weeks ago. We were going to get to this point. E, you've been saying this is the classic babyface heel 1-on-1 storyline. That's easy. People understand. My argument was always, but yeah, we're telling the same story. Number one over babyface in the company, or two or three, top three. Feeling like he can't beat Gunther. That's getting old now for 8 weeks. He's lost every match, et cetera, et cetera. And when Jimmy got involved, a light switch was turned on immediately. He gets dog walked last week, of course. Gunther's eating his blood, et cetera, et cetera. And then this week, we get Sirius J. Which Sirius J is also really good, because we also get Yeet J. Because I've been on the how incredible he is at top promo when he goes out there and just talks and comes across as like a real genuine person. But you got to have the opposite side of that too. Everything can't be Sirius J, because then when he's not serious, it doesn't matter, right? But what a fucking promo, man. And I tweeted about it on Monday night, but what I probably enjoyed, the promo was excellent. The promo was excellent. Crowd just came to yeet, though. Minnesota, sorry, y'all. Y'all just came to yeet. It took Jay 15 times telling that crowd to chill out. I don't want the yeets right now. For them to pick up on, we can't yeet. They just wanted to yeet. They didn't give a damn. He was happy, sad. We got to yeet. But he when he comes out and he cuts that promo and how serious he was, and then just watching Gunther change throughout that promo. He comes out cocky, overly smiling, with the suit on, knowing he's got everything in the bag, to listening to Jay. And then by the time that promo was over, he is frowning, he is dejected, he is scared, because he knows damn, I think I went too far this time. I unlocked, but I shouldn't have unlocked NJ Uso. And Bushman sent me a text earlier, E, and he didn't like it. And I'm like, well, you got to tell me why, because we are on a completely different sides of the fence. He said he didn't like it because, one, Jay didn't come in the ring and, you know, get down on Gunther, beat his ass. I get that a little bit, for sure, because that was one of the first things I thought is, how did he get out of Jay not hitting Gunther? So I thought maybe one of them was going to hit a line of, we were told no physicality or WrestleMania main events in jeopardy. I thought we'd get something like that. We didn't. But, you know, little small tidbit. But then he also said he didn't like the way Gunther was looking at Jay. And he was just like, you know, 09 Randy Orton would have cut Jay off. I'm like, yeah, but then you're not telling the story properly. Because Gunther had the ups on him the entire period of this feud. Now going back to Saturday Night's main event in January. So in 3 months or 4 months, every single week, he's had the upper hand on Jay. You can't cut Jay off now. We only need a week and a half to prove that Jay Uso can beat Gunther, and he is now not scared of Gunther to beat him at WrestleMania. That's all you need, because you're coming in now in WrestleMania at that peak. Because once again, this feud was dead in the water. We were talking about somehow putting this on a pre-show of WrestleMania, and then maybe like Jay gets somebody else on the main card. We were that down on this match to now, once again, this is one of my more anticipated matches. I'm excited to see what type of story they tell. Is it like a straight up, you know, fight, hardcore match? Is it, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm excited about. But talk to me, man. What'd you think?
Really good. You know, I'm all down for the Jay ride. Like, I'm all down for the Eat Fest. But I do really like the promo. And I liked it, as you said, you got to have the Yeet Man, and you got the right, you got the, the right hand man?
Right hand man, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He told me, I'm going to get you. Like, right? Yeah. He lists all the people he going to get him for. Like, right? I love that. And as you said, you know, he's taking you on an emotional roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to have fun with Jay. You know, you want to laugh, you want to have a good time, right? But when now you see him upset, right, you see him in his emotions and feeling, it hits different a little bit. Because, like, this guy is usually laughing, joking. Man, it's almost like, you know, I always tell my wife, when we're interacting with the kids, like, you know, my kids, fun-loving, everything's a joke. I guess, I don't know who they get that from. But everything's a joke. Fun-loving, right? And they got smart mouths, right? I have no idea who they get.
Oh, yeah.
Where they get all this from. We trying to fix this. I'm trying to fix it. I don't know where they're getting from. I told you, these kids at home, I don't know. The kids in school, whatever. But when my wife interacts with them, you know, it's like a constant, like, you know, frustration, like, right? Like, their antics, right? So when she's talking to them, it's like the same kind of tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like that lecture in her voice, right? So every time she's talking to them, it sounds she has like she's lecturing them. Almost all the time, right? So I feel like they drown her out after a while because that's her normal tone. It doesn't matter what they do from 1 to 10, it's the same tone consistently, right? Now me, you know, like I try to be cool, try to be understanding, try to talk to them, give them the whys and hows, right? Talk like I'm talking right now. But when it's serious, the voice changed.
I done told you guys this is what we're going to do right now. Playtime's over. Let's get in the bed.
You know, like they know.
That's how you give it up.
They know when the voice change, right?
It's just
when
I start
frowning up.
All right, we stop playing around now.
They know the time's different. Like, right? That's how the audience is. Right, right. Kinda. Minnesota didn't get it at first.
Correct.
Like, right.
Exactly. They was just there to
get it at first.
Yeah. My man said, Jimmy's in a hospital. They said, yeet. I was like, whoa, are you listening to what he's saying right now?
No, they weren't listening. They there for the fun, right? It. They think, like, right, they're not even listening, right? But once they got into, like, yo, this man is he's in his feelings right now. Let's listen to what he's actually saying, right? It hits different. So it takes you on that emotional roller coaster of, like, this fun-loving guy who's just watched his brother get beat to dirt. Right in front of him, he's telling us that his mama asked him, like, yo, why didn't you do something? I'm like, mama, I'm a handcuff. What you want me to do?
Right.
Like, right? So he's telling his whole story for the world to see. Like, yo, at WrestleMania, not only am I going to take your championship, I'm going to do it for my family, my brother, my mother. I'm going to, you know what I'm saying? This is a list of ones. So now it may add that much more intrigue. I think the story that they're telling with Jay and Guther right now, and that's the good thing. So this is one of the things I was telling you about, man. I feel like, you know, sometimes like you and other fans let the company off the hook too easy. Like, y'all be too ready to jump, get on the bandwagon when they give y'all a bunch of crap. But I feel like this storyline specifically, they did a really good job of kind of getting things on track. Number one, yeah, they got Guther right before this feud started to make him that cocky heel that he always should have been for an entire year. Like, right? And then they started adding storytelling elements that kind of give you a reason, additional reason to want to cheer Jay and boo Guther. Like, right? And now, and you know, like, the announcers have been trying their ass off to try to get you to think that Jey Uso is really in jeopardy in this match. Like, right? He could lose. Maybe that's why it's not the main event. He could lose. But at this point, man, the story they're telling, Guther has Jey Uso's number. Guther whooped his brother's ass in front of him. Got his mama crying. How can this man not win? And then at this point, how can you not want to see this man win? How can you not want to be on the E-train? I feel like that's great storytelling they've done with this feud in the past couple weeks.
No, it is. It's been fantastic. But you could tell when it kicked up when Jimmy got involved. Because it was 3 or 4 weeks there that feud was really dry.
Yeah.
And
it was kind of the same thing.
Guther comes out and chokes him out at the end of the match and leaves him. Like, that was consistently every single week. It's like, we need more than that if you're talking about a main event level.
Yeah, they had Austin Theory and them coming out. And,
yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot, man. But we're here now. Once again, we're here now. So that's another match I'm super excited about. In what world, Ishan, is Bianca Belair currently, today, the heel in this scenario?
She's the heel right now. The crowd is booing. Like, I thought it was just like the crowds overseas.
UK.
But she came back home and they booing her too. But see, this is the scary thing when you take two baby faces together. Because typically the crowd's gonna decide. Right? Because like most people typically want to boo and they want to cheer.
Right.
Like, right. So Rhea is the it girl. Like, right? They feel like Bianca's in the way.
But that leaves EO. That leaves EO.
EO is the face,
right? Because they're cheering her.
I don't like what they're doing with EO, though, man. Like, the way they're booking her, she is such an afterthought. Now, she gets the final word or the final kick in this scenario. But she, it seemed like this should totally be Bianca and Rhea. And, like, EO is just caught in the middle. I don't like how they're kind of doing her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why they put her in the match unless she, like, and it'll suck that if she gets pinned, right? I guess it will make sense because she's the champion. The champion gets pinned, like, right?
Or maybe not. But maybe that's how they can keep the next feud going. If Bianca pins Rhea for the championship, we ain't got to get into the booking of it. But yeah. Rhea is undefeated at WrestleMania, and I would hate for her to lose that streak. And I don't want to hear her. She is unpinned at WrestleMania. Like, if Rhea takes the pin or EO takes the pin and she, you know, like, she's still lost. But I don't want her to lose that her undefeated streak at WrestleMania in a triple threat match against Rhea and EO. And EO, what you think about EO having a little cake out last night?
Oh, damn.
I said, look at EO.
No, she didn't. I was like, that's my baby EO.
That's right my there. EO. That's, you said, that's my
that's
EO.
That's her. That's her.
I'm like, oh. that Leonardo DiCaprio gif where you sit up and point at this TV.
Look, let me tell you something, man. Like, I was trying to watch the show last night, man. I had a really long day. I was really tired, man. Physically exhausting day as well. I think I fell asleep. I woke up during this segment. And EO came out.
This was the first damn segment on the show, brother.
Oh, shit. Well, whatever. Like, I fell asleep and woke up and I saw EO do the 360. And I'm like, okay, we back in business.
That is hilarious. Wait
a
minute.
Matt, I think we have a special guest that has joined the show. Who's on the call?
Hey, what y'all doing?
We sitting here just talking about EO's little cakes that made his debut on Monday Night
Raw. Oh, they were hanging out. They were so cute.
The little cakes. What up? We told everybody you had some other things you had to do, and then we said you may join us. You are not on camera. Just to fill you in on what we talked about. I told Eshawn he was correct about Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair being a complete clusterfuck from what we saw on SmackDown. Would you like to speak about, because I know you were really passionate about one particular thing in that promo
segment.
Right
now, I'm cutting you off right now. The moment Tiffy went at Charlotte like that about her marriages, I was like, as soon as I get back there, if I was Charlotte, I'm finding something and I'm mollywopping it upside her head. That was completely out of line, uncalled for, distasteful. Like, she really made me feel like she's a bad girl. And like, in real life for that, that was completely out of line.
So I asked E, I'll ask you, what makes family off limits? Or is it just because it was Charlotte saying it to Tiffany, or Tiffany saying it to Charlotte, and you know right now they are not on best of terms in real life in setting up this match?
I'm going to pull this one out of my Isham book here. I'm from Inktown, from Inkster. You don't mess with family ever. That's like the one thing. Family is off limits. If it's me and you, it's me and you, and that's it. I mean, that's it. You just don't mess or bring up with family. There is a code to that. And when she did that, she did it purely with ill intent, and mainly because she knew that's all she can do. That's all she had in her back pocket, because she couldn't hang with the queen. So the only thing I could do is cause a shock moment. And like, so I would have shocked her right upside her head.
You felt it. You sound like an old lady right there. I would have shocked her right upside the head. I had told E that, like, the whole family thing, if the person says family's off limits. I don't think the line was a big deal, because she brought it up and it was personal. Like, and what I told E was, Charlotte had just been beating Tiffany in the professional game. Like, even if you say she's going out of her way to make her look bad, that's still professional, right? So when Tiffany brought up the personal side of it, and E was like, I don't even know, you know, and then Charlotte makes a comment about Kaiser being in DMs. He was like, that wasn't that big of a deal. Like, people don't know, like, Kaiser like that. And I told him, I said, when she first hit that line, I thought the exact same thing, to the point where I was like, damn, was Kaiser in those DMs for her to say that? Because you know it's not going to get a reaction from the crowd. But I think she was just so frazzled at that point. That was the first thing that kind of came to her mind.
I agree. Like, again, who's Kaiser? Yeah, some of us know who Kaiser is. The other is not going to. We're still sitting on what you just said about my marriage. And I think the other part was, the day before, the queen had went on some show, and she had talked about like how she kept this personal to herself, because once again, it was another failed marriage. So it, for a half a second, made me think that maybe they did discuss this and did say that, okay, you can't, nothing's off limits. And then that's what she went for just a slither of a second. That's why I'm thinking that that was okay. But when I had saw that she felt like she was a failure, that this is her second one, or whatever she had mentioned, that she felt really bad about her as a person, that's when it was like, okay, so you said that to just be hurtful. And that's not what we're doing here.
It would be great if we find out this whole thing was a work between them two, and like, only they knew, and, you know, maybe Triple H and somebody else, like, this whole thing was a work.
I hope so. I really do, because like I said, if I was queen. Well,
I don't care, because I told E, whatever we get, either we're getting the worst match in WrestleMania history up there with Jimmy and Jay last year, or we get a classic Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man, TLC number one, that type level match. Austin Brett, WrestleMania 13, it's going to be one other. It is not going to be in the middle.
And the first thing I thought about was the Charlotte and Nia match. We thought that was different. I'll just call it different. We thought that was different. Mm-hmm. This is about to be something completely different.
Anything you want to add? We were actually just wrapping up having a conversation. We wrapped it. We were talking about Bianca when you first got on. We were talking about cakes from EO. But Jay and Gunther, anything from that promo segment? Anything from the storyline you want to talk about?
No, but I thought that was... Oh, I just said no and I'm about to talk. I would say nothing really outside of Jay getting a really good acting award for that too, because we're not yeeting coming out. You're serious Jay right now. And then this first line is like, you have a mother, you have a mother. Like, that made me feel the insides, like, dang, like, and that right there connected and made him feel personable to me. Not saying that he has never been it, because that's not the case at all. But that right there and him coming out there not playing around, how many times we see a baby face lose a match, and then the very next day after the PLE, they're coming out to their entrance hype as if they didn't just lose their match. So to me, that was perfect on how he was serious about it. And again, just like how I said about family, family's off limits. You just don't do that. That's all I have to say on it.
Shout out to On The Mark Podcast. They had me on there a couple of days ago. And one of the things that I brought up, which I brought up here too, was just how excited and proud I am of Trinity, Naomi, because I know she's been wanting to do this for a long time. Show this range of emotion. Look at Jay. Where, and no, it wasn't like the best promo of like his career. Or, I mean, maybe, right? It may be a career defining promo. It wasn't like it's a top 10 promo in wrestling history. But this was even a different side of Jay in terms of his mic skills and him on the mic than what we were getting with him and Roman were feuding. And it was still the real brother and cousin and Oos is me and that whole thing. It was even different from that. So for him to hear people just hating on him because all he does is yeet, and he knows what he can bring to the table. That's why, I mean, like, self-belief has to be number one in your life, because you let other people tell you what your worth is worth, man, good luck.
Yep.
Out here.
You're not gonna hit those dreams. You're not gonna, you know, hit your goals in life unless your goals are just completely low. But yeah, I mean, if you're allowing somebody else to validate you, not a good look.
Yep. So now you are caught up. Now I'm going to throw it back to E, because what he was talking about, because I asked him, I said, in what world, and E is pretty good, right? This is all off the top of the dome, everything we talked about. Yes, sir. In what world is Bianca Belair a heel? And E said, in this world, because she's getting booed right now. And he said, typically, when it is heels and baby faces, the crowd would like to cheer one of the both. When you get all three or both as baby faces, the crowd's going to pick. He said they're picking Bianca Belair to be the heel. Then I brought up Io, and that's when we started talking about the case, and that's when you came in at that moment. Shout out to your boy for me remembering all that. So Ishan, floor is yours again, sir.
Yeah, Bianca is the heel right now. Rhea is the face. I think the crowd still likes Io. It's just, as I said, that I just don't like kind of playing her a little bit. She seems like the odd woman out a little bit. Kind of like that. You know, she reminds me of, you know, when Roman and Rock and Cody were on stage, you know, Seth just was kind of standing there.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and
it's,
she's
that's,
the champ.
That's,
and she's the champ.
And she's the champ, right? And here's the thing. She's the smallest of the three, too, right? So they're like, mm-hmm. You know, she's like the little kid, right? Like, they're looking up at each other, and they got to look down to talk to her. She got to look up, right? And it's like the same thing every week. Like, right? Like, they almost practically ignore her. And then at the end of the segment, she attacks them, right? She gets the one up. So to me, if this is like booking 101, mm-hmm. We ain't seen it all the time, right? Like, if she's always going over at the end of every segment, that means she ain't going over at WrestleMania. We, like, now again, could be totally wrong. They could be going in a different direction, because I feel like there's big money in a singles match between Rhea and Bianca. Maybe they don't want to get to it just yet. Maybe they want to wait to like a SummerSlam or something like that. They want to keep on putting these things in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what this is. And she continues to hold the championship after Mania. So that way they can kind of keep those two girls apart from having their you know, undeniable singles match. But I still don't like what they're doing with EO.
Yeah, so they announced Evolution 2 for July 5th. My assumption right now is that's main evented by Rhea and Bianca. That would make sense why we got the triple threat now. But that's in July, so we still got a few months for that. There was a lot, and there is a lot. But what I will say is, I don't know if it's Rhea Ripley the reason why Bianca's getting booed. Like, Liv, God, it feels like Liv got a lot of cheers when she was feuding with Rhea, unless she brought up Dominic. That was like the easy heat, right? But it felt like, and this could be revisionist history, it felt like Liv got a lot of cheers when she was feuding with Rhea.
I also feel with that, though, maybe could it also been more of an attraction thing? We know that people can get super hype sexually over Rhea and Liv as they have been in the last 2 years, more so than maybe Bianca.
So maybe, but Bianca is an incredible looking woman. Nobody's ever called Bianca ugly, right? Or not attractive. But there is something that there, it'd be hard for me to believe. And once again, I could be a fool for this, and tell me if I am. It's hard for me to believe Rhea Ripley has the power to turn Bianca heel when Bianca has done nothing to be the heel and Rhea is actually the heel. Like, are they booing strictly because she's been going at Rhea, or is it something more than that? I'm not trying to make this like a racial thing. I'm talking like from a presentation storyline thing. Is it they see things that maybe we don't see? Like, or is it strictly, well, she's the one that is going against Rhea, so we're going to boo her?
For Bianca, though, I've only really heard the booing just this week. Has there been more booing than this?
Yeah, like the last, especially last week in the UK, it was smattering of boos the week before that. But yeah, like they started booing her last week.
Okay, well then I can't really count when they're out of the country, because they would, the alliance or the allegiance would be more with Rhea, and we would see like with Io, a lot of the Japanese wrestlers when they're abroad. I think it's just the Rhea effect. And again, when we talk about Liv, she has like this sex appeal attraction that is more so than Bianca. I'm not going to make it a racial thing either, but I just think that it's more people can find themselves like in Liv more in that regard. But for Rhea, I think it's just a Rhea effect. And I'm mad at her as hell, because she should not be in this main event at all. And back to what he was saying, I think Io is going to win. Unfortunately, I want Bianca to win, but I do think Io is going to win Mania.
So, you know, Bianca is, actually, this is the last thing we talked about before you came in. Bianca's undefeated at WrestleMania. So if this was not that, this doesn't have to be a streak, right? I'm not saying, hey, turn Bianca's streak into what Undertaker's streak was. But if she's going to lose at a WrestleMania, I would want it to not be in a triple threat match, in this triple threat match.
I agree. So she won't be undefeated. Remember those days?
Yeah, she ain't hit that in a while, though. She should have said that about WrestleMania. Maybe she'll hit it Monday.
You know what? Like, them streaks don't mean nothing to me, to be honest with you. I don't really care. Like, I thought you said Rhea earlier. It doesn't matter to me. It's Rhea or Bianca, because neither one of her undefeated. Like, in general, right? To me, mm-hmm. like, the last undefeated streak that meant something to me was two of them. No, the first one was Mr. Perfect. Well, Mr. Perfect was, yeah, stay on. And when Mr. Perfect was undefeated, mm-hmm. like, that meant something, right? Because he was perfect. Like, right? But then it wasn't perfect anymore. It didn't matter. And then it was Goldberg, when Goldberg had his streak. Like, right? And then once it was over. Like, the WrestleMania, like, it doesn't really matter. But I will say this, going back to Bianca, I think something about character. I think that Bianca knows her character. And you think about her character, she hasn't changed much since she was at NXT. Like, the way she presents herself, the way she talks, to an inflection. Like, right? Like, she's still that girl with the attitude that has high self-confidence. Like, right? That's spitting the same catchphrases. I'm the best, the greatest, the fastest. Like, right? Super confident. Like, her cadence is a little heelish, and it always has been, to be quite honest with you. Like, right? So she's been baby for quite some time. And naturally, you know, when you have like a lot of baby faces, when they've been on top and they've been baby faces after a while, sometimes the fans kind of get tired of their sticking.
Get tired of it.
Yeah. And you know, like, right. So they get tired of listening to, you know, and cocky woman, like, right? Always talking about how much better she is to everybody. Like, right? So I think that has something to do with it as well. Because if you listen to her on Raw, she sounded like a little bit of a heel. She doesn't seem like Charlotte, but she sounds like a heel.
So you picked up on some of that then, right?
I've been picking up on it for months.
Okay, so now, but you just gave me clarity. Because the whole point of me bringing that up was not that I didn't agree. I said before, Bianca's next character arc is going to be career-defining, in my opinion. That's what I think. So I don't know if it's going to be full-blown heel, but we're going to see a character change very soon. So when I asked that question, it's working. So I didn't ask it I just don't understand. Somebody please explain to me. I was asking for an outsider's, for me, view on what is she doing to get booed, because it's working. this is where it's supposed to be. She's been tweeting out the last couple of weeks, I'm trying not to crash out. Or, you know, Bianca B, don't crash out. Don't crash out. So when she crashes out, it's going to be awesome. But this is what it's supposed to be. I just really wasn't seeing what you said, E, you've been seeing for the last few months. I noticed it Monday night. But I also noticed it too because she started getting booed. And then I got that. I don't know if I got it before the crowd like really started booing her, before she started cutting that promo. But it's working. I think it's working as intended. But it's just funny to me that she's the one that's getting booed and she's the heel in this when Rhea is 100% the heel. Rhea has done nothing in this. She lost at the Rumble. She lost at Chamber. She put her hands on the referees. She's doing all this. She still gets a title shot, main event match at WrestleMania. And the crowd still pops. That's really interesting.
Oh, and it's going to be a great story, too. Because you think about it, like, Bianca was like, man, look, like, Rhea's been on a tear this entire time. And y'all about to just put her in the match? And then y'all booing me. Like, yep. Right, I got, because I don't like it. Y'all booing me because this girl is bullying her way into a title match at WrestleMania. Like, right, she got a whole story to tell. And to me, like, Bianca's, like, personality has seemed so heelish to me. That I questioned, even going back to the whole Jay and Naomi thing. I'm like, what if she was in on it with Naomi, right? Like, this in on it with Jay the whole time. And like, because they got to come back around to all of this, course, right? Like, do. Bianca, yep, has to come, like, that has to come back full circle, right? And what if they were all together in on Jay? But still, at the end of the day, as we talked about it last week, I feel like, man, Jay also is just a natural heel. Mm-hmm. Maybe she can be that badass character. I think that's what they're trying to go for, right? Her being that badass babyface character. Man, she seems like just a natural heel. Like, for me, like, it doesn't make sense, though, right? Like, they were all in on it together. Like, at the end, they all going to be a heel faction. Like, right? And it was all cap. And they were in on it together, and they're like, they're all going to be heels together. But, yeah, I can see a world where Bianca turns heel. She was in on it with Naomi, and they're gonna be back together as heel friends.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be super fun. Something that's not fun, and we can get to Rey Fenix debut because I want to. I think there was something else on Raw we missed. I gotta just kind of think back. But Kevin Owens out indefinitely with he's gonna need neck surgery, and I was super irritated and upset with the Chicago fans because for a fan base that is supposed to be so smart, I don't know how you watch that promo and thought it was still storyline. But I was really upset because I wanted KO to get his standing ovation. I wanted him to get his thank you. KO, it doesn't look like his career ending, but it's neck surgery. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be careful with that when it comes to now going back to falling for a living, especially the style that he works. He said he got hurt back in January. It wasn't the hardcore match. They didn't know how bad his neck was until they got the test. A couple days before SmackDown, and it was, yeah, you need surgery now. But I was really upset because I'm like, damn, Chicago, like, there's no way you're this like stupid Mark Smart that you think this is still somehow part of the storyline. Listen to the words of what KO is saying. Look at Audis. Look at Orton. Right? I'm just like, come on, man. But then I saw a lot on social media about, is this real? Somebody even sent me a message asking, hey, was that legit? I'm like, it was 100% a shoot that he's hurt. He needs surgery. But so I wish they could redo it. I wish he could get the love that he deserves for putting his body on the line the way he does. But were you guys surprised so many people thought that was a work? It was part of the storyline?
I didn't see that segment. But based off of what you just explained and how you explained it, I can probably see why people just thought that he was just full of it and he was full of shit. And so they thought that it was a work. If you're saying that Audis had a look in his face and Orton had a look in his face, then I would probably think that it was a shoot. But KO is a bad guy, like a really bad, bad guy. So I can absolutely see why somebody wouldn't believe it. Maybe what they could have done to the point that you just made, maybe how they would have presented it to make it known without a doubt that there was something wrong with him. See, in my mind, really quickly, I'm jumping. In my mind, if KO backed out a week and a half to WrestleMania or 2 weeks at that point, that just wouldn't happen. They won't not have a match 2 weeks before Mania. So for me, I would have just already assumed that this had to be real. But again, KO being the KO that he is, I can see why people say that. And people even reached out to you to see if it was real. So maybe
and
on the present.
Really, really quick, they did present it. All this came out and was in the middle of the ring and said, you know, what we do is really hard on the body. We tell you guys don't try it. Don't do this at home. And sometimes, you know, you're just lucky until maybe your luck runs out. And he's like, without me saying more, Kevin Owens. And then he brought Kevin Owens out. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a whole thing.
Oh my God. No. So then that to me would be the perfect way that you would do it. In my mind, I'm thinking KO just out there talking about, yeah, I can't wrestle next 2 weeks from now.
Somebody I was texting with, I forgot who it was, said they took the silence as more of, damn, this sucks, kind of a reaction. I was like, yeah, but I heard boos. So now maybe when everybody's quiet, maybe the only 50 people booing, and that's 50, you know, 50 out of whatever 16,000 they had down there, which is fucking crazy. For a regular SmackDown show. But yeah, I was disappointed. I was disappointed. E, what did you think?
You know what? If you think about that that Raw crowd, right? Jay's out there trying to cut a serious promo, trying to talk about his mama's blaming him and his brother got beat to shit in front of him. Like, right? And he goes, my brother's in the hospital.
Yeet.
Like, right? Like, the fans can't cut it off. Like, right? So you think about in this moment, and we say that the Chicago is the smart audience, but at a WWE show, there's a lot of families, a lot of kids. And you guys understand, like, a lot of the WWE audience, they're not as connected to the storylines and the backstage stuff and the Jersey stuff, or even online like we are. Like, right? So they might go into the show totally oblivious to what's happening. Yes, Nick Aldis comes out and he says whatever he says, but this is a show. That's what they've been saying since we've been on Netflix. This is a show. Like, this is entertainment.
Right.
Like, right. That's what they say. It's not even a wrestling show. This is entertainment. Like, right. So now in the middle of a show, we got to flip the switch to say, okay, this is real life. This isn't part of the show. Like, this is a nasty, disgusting heel that's been coming after Cody and everybody else for months. Now, all of a sudden, we gonna just say this is Kevin Owens, the man, not the wrestler, not the character who's been hated, who's been doing sneaky, underhanded shit, you know, for some time now. Like, right? It's going to be hard for an average fan who's not into it like we are to disconnect in that moment to separate fact from fiction. If is it fact from fiction? Because WWE does this blurring the line all the time. Like, right? One of the best moments in wrestling history was Mark Henry retirement speech. Like, right? Like, we thought that Mark Henry was retiring in that moment. And yeah, it turned out to be like this half cut, like, you know, beat up on John Cena thing. Like, right? He did all that just to beat up John Cena. Like, right? It was a hell of a moment because it was a hell of a promo. Like, right? If you're going to go out, that's the way to go out. But at the end of the day, WWE has histories of doing this. So I don't blame, you know, people in attendance for not being able to separate in the moment about what's real and what's not.
Okay. I mean, I'm in a minority then on that. But like I said, yeah, but thoughts and prayers to KO. Thank you, my good brother, for everything you've done. If that is somehow, some way your last match. Once again, I don't think so. What a way to fucking go out with your best friend fighting in your home country. By jeez. God bless, man. That's incredible. And taking on Austin, you know, 2 years ago in Mania. Like, that was your guy. So if he had to give it up, I am sure he is completely happy with his career. But like I said, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm selfish on that one. I don't want that to be last time I see KO.
Yeah. And he even said, so the last, you got to go back and watch it, Rhodesia. His last line was, I'm very sorry to the crowd. But before that, I think he made a comment of that what hurts him the most is he won't be able to share a ring with Orton at WrestleMania. Or something like that. I mean, it was clear as day. Like,
man.
Yeah, it was clear as day.
Getting choked up thinking about it.
Yeah, no, it was a real one. It was a real one. Rey Fénix debuted. I thought a fantastic debut. But you think for somebody who's never seen Fénix, did he hit a home run? Take out the entrance. Entrance was still fire. take out the entrance. Was his debut on par with Pence's debut on Raw from a couple months ago?
You want to take that first?
Yeah, sure. I don't think it was like Penta. I think like Penta coming out with the mask and the face paint and everything, and I think that just hit different. Then of course, you know, then Penta, you know, cut the hell of a, you know, promo right afterwards, like right. But I don't think he needs to replicate that. I think it showcased some athleticism. Show like a lot of the. Because like a lot of the moves that he does, we haven't seen anybody in WWE do. Like, right, especially with the rope shit that he does, mm-hmm. and like the what do they call it when he walks the rope and he kicks. Like, he has a very exciting aerial style that hasn't been present in that company. I'm very, very interested to see how he can kind of tone that down and kind of work within the system. Right, we've seen Penta do it. Right, so it'll be very interesting to see. Ray Phoenix too. You know what? I think Ray Phoenix, as far as from a work style, can be very similar to RVD. Like, right? Because like, you know, RVD did like some amazing things in ECW. Still does amazing things, right? But he kind of turned it down a little bit when he was in WWE, and he still is electrifying, right? And doing stuff that we've never seen before. I feel like Ray Phoenix is going to be the same type of way. He's still going to bring a new dynamic and a new style we've never seen before. And it's going to come off even better than it ever has on the big stage.
Two things on that. One, I do not think he came close to the debut, the debut of Penta. But like for what he said, maybe he shouldn't have. But what I will say is my number two was, I was impressed seeing him. Remember how I came on here and I'm like, y'all, I don't think Phoenix is going to be really anything.
You're a Phoenix hater. Yes.
I'm not a hater, but that was what I felt. I'm like, Penta is going to completely outshine his brother, like massively. But what I saw, and again, who his dancing partner was, I mean, that was an incredible match. So for someone like me who liked those kind of matches, like, I felt like Phoenix showed out and did stand out to me more than I expected him to. With me having a lower... I guess bar for him or a lower expectation for him, he actually did impress me and had me excited. So hopefully that's a really great thing just for the masses.
I loved it. I thought it was great. Of course, I thought it did what it needed to do. Big fan of it. Penta has the personality, right? He's got the walk. He's got the gloves. He's got the slogan. He's got all of that. But I just think Penta or Phoenix can do some damage on SmackDown and people really be impressed with him. So good first step. He's taking on another, what's his name? Who's he fighting? Which one's he fighting?
I can't remember.
Humberto? Is that his name?
Humberto?
Yeah, Humberto. Yeah. Yep. But I think they changed his name now. So I think it's something else. But he's fighting him on Friday. And we'll see. I'm still waiting to see if they have him in a WrestleMania match. What you would think would be, if you are debuting him a couple weeks before WrestleMania, you're debuting him a couple weeks before WrestleMania to get him on WrestleMania. And then, when I was watching the show, I had said, well, maybe by some chance he doesn't get a WrestleMania match. And they debuted him in Chicago because they knew he would get the best possible response in Chicago out of anywhere that's on their docket. And I pulled up SmackDown's next, you know, few shows, and outside that Friday before WrestleMania, which is in Vegas, Chicago was the spot. Everybody knows AEW in Chicago. They've seen him work. They're happy that he's there. But we'll see. You would still think he gets thrown into a match somewhere. I would hope so. What else? There was something else from SmackDown I wanted to ask you guys about. I think it was Madison. We talked about, Randy Orton. I don't have an answer to this, but maybe you two do. What do you do with him for WrestleMania? If you had to pin, who are you putting him in a match with?
I hate when you do this because I can't book. If I even thought about booking, I can't book. I don't know. The last time you and I and Little Matt talked about this, I said, then you just don't have Randy Orton at WrestleMania. And you laughed at me and pointed in my face and said, haha, funny, you dummy. Like, no, if you have Orton, you're going to use him. So if I had the pin, I would say that he just doesn't have a match, because I just, outside of just throwing it together, it'd probably be meaningless to me. But I'm like, don't necessarily have a match for him if you can't build to it. Unless you put him in the Andre the Giant over the top battle royal.
That's on Friday. That's on SmackDown.
No.
That's not happening. Could you imagine him coming out with that damn trophy, WrestleMania Night 2, just to pose with it, like they had Bobby Lashley do a few years ago?
I'm telling you, and then I know he listens to the show.
That is crazy. So you have no answer. You put him in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. E, what are you doing, Randy Orton, for WrestleMania?
Unless there's like a major heel without a match, like, I don't think there's a place for him, unless you're going to insert him into the U.S. title match.
And a fatal five-way?
Which could be interesting.
No, U.S. is LA Knight and Jacob. And shout out to Jacob. Shout out to LA Knight, too. But shout out to Jacob. This man has a pretty prominent WrestleMania spot, less than a year in, and has destroyed everything that he has touched. Still being a significant rookie in the WWE machine. So
but in
I'm
a match that I didn't
him.
Think we would have saw. Like, I don't think this was on nobody's bingo card, that Jacob's match, because he's going to have a match at WrestleMania 41, is against LA Knight. I don't think anybody had that.
I just want to know,
Rock,
what changed.
Where you at, Rocky?
I just want to know what changed. Like, we're not getting solo Jacob yet. We're not getting Roman Jacob yet. Like, something had to stick. If you would have said 6 months ago that Roman is having a match, Jacob's having a match, and they're not against each other, you'd be like, what? Okay.
Yep.
We're solo doing. Oh, he may not be on the card either. Like, just something changed. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see when we do finally get those matches. And maybe we all say, oh, that makes sense. So we also may say, damn, they sacrificed not having these matches at WrestleMania for this. So
they have
to
sell that two-night SummerSlam.
That's probably Punk and Roman if I was a betting person.
They still have to sell the two-night.
Jacob solo night one.
I really feel like they, like the whole bloodline thing, like, it dissolved very quickly. I think something had to happen with Rock and his availability and him not being able to be part of that storyline. Because, you know, you think about, like the bloodline situation, like, they still have dudes that they signed, they haven't brought up on any roster yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right? And which is strange, too, because it would, like, their oldest brother, youngest brother, Tala.
Like Leo, right? How do you say
like, Tala.
Yeah. Tala Tonga. We ain't spoke about him in months. Hey, yo.
Like, right?
Do you know? Yeah, shout out to him, man. Like, good kid from everything I've heard. But do you know how bad he has to be? If out of all the Samoans, they was like, dude, sorry, you got to go down to NXT for a little bit. He's like, okay, no problem. I have no problem working Tuesdays. He was like, no, man. I mean, like, NXT. Like, just go back in that one room. That's where all the guys go who need some extra training. He's been down there for months, man.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, he got to really be bad because, like, Tonga Loa, right? Tonga Loa, you know, got injured. So, perfect spot for him to slide into.
And it's like, no, man.
To be like a heavy for the group.
Yeah. Like, nope. You need some more seasoning, dude.
Like, nope, don't bring him up.
That is crazy as hell. Shout out to him. Maybe that means he's going to be the next Roman. Maybe they see that much of him. Like, all right, we can't unveil him until he is prime, hot, and ready. Because, damn, dude, that is crazy.
Hey, but real quick, though, going back to, I want to circle back to Naomi and Jay, you know, getting their WrestleMania match.
Another one.
Be great, right?
Absolutely. Another one, man. What, first non-title single woman's match in like 7 years or something at WrestleMania?
Yep.
So, and yeah, man, something crazy like that.
Yeah. As you said, Naomi's doing a wonderful job with her character, man. I did not know she had this in her. I love her look, her gear. Actually, I like this caution look that she has. I think this has been her best looking gear since she's back. I'm not sure you had the same person doing her attire, but I think she just looks phenomenal head to toe. Jade is Jade. But I got to tell you, I don't know if I like how ecstatic Jay was that she got a WrestleMania match, right? Like, she was super high energy that they wanted. It seemed like the actual WrestleMania match was more important to get her hands on Trinity or Naomi at the time. Like, right, maybe she decided to say that's maybe that's what it was. Like, oh, I can't wait to get my hands on it, right?
But that ain't what I came across, though.
Yeah, anyway, like, and then she immediately pointed at the side.
Yeah, like, it was funny because I was like, look, I was like, you can't smile at everything, Jay. Like, yeah. You got to take some of this stuff serious and stop smiling so much. But I am happy for them. I get it, of course, how close they are, the story they're able to tell. You get all that. But she's got to reel it in because anybody who was watching that knows that smile was because they made it and not because I get to put my hands on you in 2 weeks at Las Vegas. You getting these dupes. It was none of that.
Well, maybe a girl gets your purse.
Yeah.
Girl, you haven't said that in like 25 episodes.
We bringing everything back.
Grab your purse.
Brought back longer tonguing, brought back grab your purse. We got a lot going on right now. That's good shit though. What else do you guys have? I'm trying. I told Radija. I thought I had a rant. I'm trying not to rant because I don't want to, like, What else y'all got that y'all want to talk about?
Do it.
Oh, we already about an hour, 15 minutes to the pile. Let's go ahead and get right to AEW if you guys don't have anything else.
What you got?
Well, I mean, look, see, well, we talked about Dynasty. I know you are very excited to watch the show. I said it was no way in hell that I was going to watch a 7-hour show on a Sunday night. And here's I heard the show didn't go off until 12:30 the goddamn morning.
Like, Central time, it was like 11:23. And I was exhausted. Man. So I couldn't imagine another hour.
Man, they gotta fix that. They gotta fix that. Because you almost gotta take the next day off of work. How are you gonna be staying up to 12:30? Like, ain't nobody got 9-to-5s no more?
Right.
You know, nobody has to get up anymore. Nobody got kids. They got to get ready to catch the school bus.
Just us, brother.
Got to take care of it. You know, everybody can just sleep in the noon, right? But we going to watch wrestling. Whee! It's 12:30. Right? But I got the gist of the show. I heard a lot of the back and forth around the show. I'm kind of disappointed because on paper, they had a lot of good matches on there. But I know you guys watched it, and I'm very interested in hearing what you guys have to say.
Rizzi, you want to start with what you saw?
We're just going to step away for a second.
Oh, she is? Oh, okay. Trying not to do this rant. I don't want to rant. I don't. So let's start with the amount of matches. You are 100% correct. I went from really being excited for this show to they announced like 7 other matches since our last pod. And every match they announced, my level of interest and excitement dropped about 5%. And not because every match they announced looked like it wasn't going to be good. It was just a lot. And it was like, okay, I don't really care too much about that. I know it's going to be okay, but now you got to sit through it. And all their matches are like 20 fucking minutes. They're 20, 25 minutes. Like, you don't get no 8-minute matches, 8-minute, 12-minute matches. Everybody going 20 and up with 27 false finishes. You know what I mean? So that was a thing. But overall, I mean, I thought the show was okay. Okay to good. That's some stuff on there that was absolutely worth watching, for sure. But when I went on in November, when I said, like, AEW's dead to me right now, when I talked about the thing, I talked about what I was seeing on the show that was making me disconnected from the product and from what they were trying to present. And I'm watching on Sunday, and a lot of Dynasty had some of those moments again for me. Either through production, MJF had a spot where with the Hurt Business. He's in the crowd, he hits the opponent, and then they roll him up and the match is about to be over. Cameraman shot away from it. You didn't even see MJF hit him. It was clear as day. They moved for another shot, and then they had to show it on the replay. Right? Like, and this is where I talked a lot about before. I loved with AEW. For the boys and girls who worked there, that everything wasn't micromanaged when they first started. They didn't do production meetings. They didn't have to clear spots with Tony Khan or whoever. You just went out there and you worked. They have to change that now. If y'all don't know to shoot MJF in a pretty important AEW storyline, he's going to be involved in this match. If you don't know that as a production team, that's a miss. And if you didn't know and you still missed it, that person needs to be fired. Because that happens every, it's something every week with audio and video with AEW. So that kind of took me out the moment. But I just know I watch with a different lens. And there's times where I try to dumb that down. There is times where I watch and I try to, like, online. See, and I'm trying not to get to this whole tangent thing. But I go online, I think it may have been Sunday, really quick, E. I got a chance to get online. It may, or maybe Monday, I don't know. One day, I didn't have much time, but I went on. And all I see is everybody fucking clamoring and begging for followers from wrestlers. And some of these are, like, really big accounts that are doing this. And I'm like, okay, so this is where people go to get wrestling opinions, and there's nothing wrong with wanting wrestlers to follow you. Shout out to every wrestler that follows us. We have a few. But I am not the person, when a wrestler follows me, to screen grab it and then shoot it out to everybody and say, oh, look who follows me. I'm not the person when wrestlers, which they have DM'd us and said things, for me to screenshot it and put it out on the internet and say, oh, look who is commenting. I'm not the person when somebody likes a post, which a lot of wrestlers like my post that I put out. I don't screenshot it and then put it out to Twitter universe for everybody to see. Like, I'm not in it for this, like, for that, right? Like, I like to break down wrestling. I like to talk wrestling with my friends, shoot the shit, but hopefully for somebody who doesn't watch as much as we do, or with the lens as much as we do, to kind of just provide a little bit of insight to what I see and what I would do differently or what they miss. And there's times where I try to dumb that down, but I got to be who I am, right? But there was so I say all that to say, I get irritated when I see certain things online and I know it's low-hanging fruit, or everything is positive or everything is negative. So it makes it hard when you do have, like, critiques to put them out, and you're not being looked at as a, you know, AEW stan or WWE stan, or, you know, a hater or a troll if you have literal critiques. So I just put a tweet out Sunday, like, I wish I could tweet what I want to and say what I want to, because I want everybody to do well. But there is just things that you watch and you're like, how does that continue to happen? I am sure, E, you heard about the finish with everybody and their mama showing up in the main event, distractions all over the place. But just two or three matches before that, they restart a match with Chris Jericho and Bandido, because Bandido's family members, who was in the crowd, comes around the barricade to tell Aubrey Edwards, who wasn't even the referee of the match, that Chris Jericho used the bat. And that's how he won. And then Aubrey Edwards went and told the referee, which I think was Paul Turner, that, hey, he used the bat. You need to restart this match. And I think Bandido, when they started the match, hit Chris Jericho in the nuts, and then he got a roll up, 1, 2, 3, so he got to keep his mask, because it was Maz versus title. Like that. If you are going to reverse a finish, and we know we've seen finishes being reversed before, but if you're going to reverse a finish, do not book a clusterfuck main event where everybody's involved in it is not a no DQ match. Don't put it on the same show. Don't insult my intelligence like that. Because when I see that, I'm immediately thrown out of my sense of what I'm watching, and I'm going right to, why would they do some stupid shit like that? And now I can't enjoy the show anymore. And that's not even talking about the finish on who went over. I'm only going off of, like, logic 101. That was what happened on Dynasty E. So some of the matches were fantastic. Like, I loved Ricochet, Omega, and Speedball. I thought that match was great. I thought Ospreay and Kevin Knight was fantastic. Take it back, and then I'll throw it to you. I thought it was that match was very good. I thought the match could have been incredible. I give you guys a little bit of a nitpick, but if you by chance can pull this match up wherever, watch it, and you will see I am 100% correct, because I said it when it happened. So they're having a great back and forth match. You can expect, you know what you kind of expect with Kevin Knight and Ospreay. Athleticism, crowd is there for them. Hits a certain point in the match where the crowd is up. I think they hit a false finish or they hit a crazy move. The crowd is up. They hit another move, and now we are in territories of, this may be the biggest reaction of the night. It's going to be, and this is already just only the first match. People start standing. They immediately keep going. And I told Rhodesia when we were watching, I said, they blew the pop. The crowd is never going to get that high again, and that's going to hurt the finish of the match. And they would have just stayed down, and maybe, like, Ospreay would get it, you know, because he's still young in the game. Of course, Kevin Knight is young. But if you hear that crowd coming, slow down. Just stop for a second. They could have did a double down and call it right there. Stay down and let that crowd come. Let everybody get on their feet and cheer. And then you fight to your feet, and then you go to next. And then the crowds will go up even higher. And what happened was, because they were coming so quick, the crowd, when they got there, they dropped a little bit, and they stayed right at about medium pop. And then the finish happened. They kind of came, but it wasn't even as high as where they were coming when that match. And I know that's, like, probably really inside baseball, but when I watch, that's what I see. So, like, for me, my eye, now I can't even tell you some of the moves that they hit after that. I'm just thinking of, damn, somebody hopefully tells Ospreay, hey, next time you hear that crowd coming, slow down for a second, because that's going to make the match and the audience enjoy it even more. But once again, that's a little bit of a nitpick, but it was a major nitpick with them changing finishes. And then, like I said, the finish didn't make sense with the Bucks. It was a lot, man. It was a lot. A lot to like, but it was also a lot to dislike with that show. And when they were building momentum, I don't think that Dynasty helped them. I don't know if it hurt them, per se, but I don't think it helped.
I think that Dynasty, for me, would have been a C+. I was going to maybe say B-, but what I'm about to bring up is along the lines of what you was mentioning, Matt. It's them. They have to find out what are you doing in these matches so that we don't have to be in a situation to bring it up later on in another match. There was a particular match. It could have been actually the first match of Ospreay and Kevin, where it was multiple false finishes. I like false finishes. I ain't gonna lie. But again, it was a lot of them. It was a lot of them. And then there was another match later on tonight. There was a lot of false finishes. So at this point, like, I'm over it now. Like, that it becomes irritating to me. Like, I just remember always playing SmackDown versus Raw, and if you go for a cover too much, you lose stamina. In the end, you can end up losing the match because you done used all your stamina. Like, that kind of stuff bothers me. The perfect example, you restart a match based off of what the family said they saw and you didn't even see it, and then another ref comes in and tell you to restart the match.
But no, we replay in-game or nothing. Part two. No, yeah, replay, yeah, or nothing. Nothing, yeah, shown, yeah, on the big screen.
Nothing.
We just gonna listen to mama and sister. Say, you know what, you right.
They already went over the barricade, which in my mind, that's against the law anyways. You can't do that.
I know where our guy was at. He wouldn't have went for that if he was working that section.
But so you look at that, and you look at in-game part two, and there is no restart. Like, where is the integrity of these matches? Like, it's that part right there. And I just remember in WWE time when I felt like, Vince, you think I'm stupid? You think that, like, you're insulting my intelligence over and over and over and over again? And that's when I'm like, okay, what kind of F you, WWE? That's why I had to bring it from a B- to a C+. But again, still a good show. I don't think they put on bad shows. The difference is just, like, some of the stuff doesn't make sense. And can you imagine if you actually produced your show as a whole, and not a match, but as a whole? Can you imagine how much more better it could be? When things make sense, when blood makes sense. Again, I sound like I'm down on it. I just don't like how you can tell clearly that the whole show wasn't produced. And if it was, then I need to work there because I could probably do better. No, I'm not saying that, but I give it a C+.
Yeah, I mean, again, I didn't watch it. Did not want to watch it, to be honest with you. It was like, this is Sunday. My mom's in town. There's no way I'm going to sit and watch 6 hours of this. And partly is because, like, I watch the shows. And, yeah, they're good for the most part. But it doesn't make me want to spend $50 on a Sunday. Just keeping it real. It doesn't make me want to spend $50. And I know what you're going to get. You're going to get these matches. But, damn, it's a long time sitting and watching wrestling. Right? For the very reasons to get you guys stated. However, so let's talk about the positives, though. I feel like a lot of the news, like it was a newsworthy show, right? So it's a 6-hour show. If they have a good production people, they can take that 6 hour and they can condense it to like a 2-3 minute like snippet. Like, right, you got to turn. You got. I said it in a text. I'm like, yo, FTR needs to turn heel stat.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a heel turn, right, on Edge, Concerto, right, take him out. Right, I feel like that happened to him already. Like he had a Concerto and he was
ding,
out.
Ding 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 ding.
I feel
ding,
like
ding.
I see. Yeah, I feel like that's already happened to him again. When it happened to his ass again, golly. right. So we can see that. Right, you got the Young Bucks are back. Like, right, that could be like a piece to kind of bring, you know, like, hey, tune in to Dynamite. Right, they have a lot of things on the show that you can create some quick snips to try to get people to watch the shows on Wednesday and Saturday. So if anything, like you have that, because they can take that six hours and really condense it to make you want to watch the show coming up. Now, have they done that? I have no idea. Unfortunately, I've been unplugged for a couple of days anyway. But I think some positives come out of it. Now, for me, I'm very interested in what's going on with the John Moxley thing. I just don't think it's working at all. Like I said in the beginning of the show, Rhodesia, I said, I don't know who's the bigger heel, Charlotte Flair or John Moxley, because I feel like they are two wrestlers that no one really wants to see in the position that they are in right now. Like, and look, kudos to Tony Khan. Like, we've been talking about, they'll get some long-term storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right, they telling a long-ass booking story with this John Moxley. I still have no idea what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I have no idea why he just wears white t-shirts. And, you know, like, I don't know why he puts the belt in the briefcase. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know who he's fighting against, what he's fighting for, what's the point of it. Maybe the Young Bucks, they were, you know, they are executives, right? And they were trying to take over the company. Maybe they are the bosses that John Moxley is answering to. Maybe that's the story they're going to tell, they're going to tie into. Because, like, they kind of walked away from that story. We never really got a conclusion about that faction, right? Yep. Maybe this is going to be kind of like old school, like corporate ministry, right? When the corporation joined with the ministry, finally they was always together the whole time. Maybe the Death Riders have been in cahoots with the Elite the whole time. Maybe that's where they're going. Will that story play out and be good? Who knows?
Yeah, like I feel like whatever they do is whatever with the Bucks, because on the surface it doesn't make sense for them to harm Swerve for the group who's trying to kill AEW allegedly. What? Okay, like what I was most irritated with. Okay, let me take it back. I already talked about what I was irritated with. What I was disappointed with. So I think the move was to put the belt on Swerve and take it off of Moxley because it is not working. Was on Wednesday, we got an incredible face to face with Hangman and Swerve, where Swerve admitted he knows that he deserved to get his house burned down. Did you hear or see that? E, did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got goosebumps when it happened. And I'm like, I haven't felt goosebumps from AEW in a long time. Probably
hey,
years.
You remember that song back in the day, man? Like one of those JIT songs? Some of y'all might be too young to know what JIT is. It was a dance back in the day. One of the songs was like, burn
from
your
Detroit,
house,
baby.
Down. Burn yeah. your house. Down.
Yeah.
That's what that I thought of one. When I heard the song.
Dude, I was just telling Matt about JIT last week. Like a whole thing. We were watching one of the basketball games, Pistons game, and they cut to the commercial and they got like a JIT team now at the Pistons game. Oh. I was explaining to him just like that's a real thing, because he kind of like, what the hell, what is this? Like, and I was like, dude, you from Detroit, let me put you on game real quick about JIT. And we had to tell him the whole thing. But he appreciated it. But
it's
yeah,
like Detroit crip walking, y'all.
Correct. Yeah, somewhat. If you don't know. Yeah. Like it's a whole thing. And when he hit that line, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if he's gonna help Swerve win, but what I said was either he's gonna help him win or he's gonna stop the Death Riders from interfering. And we see him pull up and he's making a decision on should he hit Moxley or Swerve, and Swerve still doesn't win and he didn't attack him. I just feel like that's a wasted opportunity. Don't even have him involved in that. Like, I think, 'cause I still think it's going to be Swerve and Hangman at All In. That probably makes the most sense. for the title. But just missed opportunities, man. I will probably I'll watch Dynamite Wednesday, but me personally, I am lower on AEW after Dynasty than I was going in. I was much higher on them as the promotion as a company before Dynasty.
You know, it's funny. I'm actually the opposite. I'm actually more interested in seeing how the story are going to play out. Like, what? How are they going to explain, you know, the Young Bucks and John Moxley joining forces? Like, why? Like, I'm interested in seeing what they're going to come up with. Now, you know, the thing is, are we going to have a follow-up, a logical follow-up to why they joined forces with John Moxley? That would be the question.
That stuff, yeah, I'm interested in that. So yeah, okay, all right. Maybe I'm about the same because I'm more interested in like a morbid curiosity, like how they gonna make sense of this. I'm interested in like the final story with MJF and the Hurt Business. You know, I think we get Cedric Alexander as that next member, but I am interested to watch that. I am interested to see, even though that was horrendous, what they're doing to hopefully cook up Omega and Okada. Okada comes out.
That's gonna be big.
He comes out after Kenny wins, and it's the quickest stare down because as soon as he hits the ring, Kenny leaves. And I'm only going to assume it was for time that they did that. But I was like, "What? This is a joke. Like, what is this?" Stuff like that.
That was way too quick from what I've heard. That interaction was way too quick. But again, you know, like, that's something they can follow up with, hopefully, on Dynamite. You know, and when I watch the show, though, when I watch the actual shows, I think about where Will Ospreay is. I think about where MJF is. Like, right? Like, those should be cornerstones of that company. And yes, they are using Will Ospreay, like, right? But we talked about him a year ago being the face of the company, him along with MJF. And I don't feel like the boat has sailed, but I feel like he's not as hot as he was like a year ago.
Who?
And
Ospreay,
Ospreay. He's not. And I feel like there's been a missed opportunity. Yep. I think MJF is not as hot as he was like a year ago. And I feel like it's a missed opportunity.
It is.
Yeah. It's like, because this was organic responses that they were having. You can't go back to that. Not in a way. I feel like with Bryan Danielson, when he finally won the championship, I feel like that was a little bit after the height of his popularity. And I don't feel like it meant as much as they do pull the trigger on him like 6 months before that.
Well, same thing with like last year in All In, Ospreay should have won the title then. And they, you know, they won Bryan, but that should have been the move. I do have to say, my MVP for Sunday night, Megan Bain. Megan Bain, you are a professional wrestler. I was beyond impressed. I came here a couple weeks ago and put her over. I put her over again. That woman can go. She has the look. She knows who she is in the ring. Yeah. Kudos, kudos, and kudos.
Hey, I got to say something, man. We got to sign off in a minute. Like, man, these suicide dives are becoming just that. I just seen another person.
Jordan Grace.
Suicide dive. Oh, Lord.
It's called a suicide for a reason. She crashed out.
Man, you are seeing more and more of these. Like, we saw Nate Frazier on SmackDown. Now her.
Woo! Not ballet. It is not ballet. Rhodesia, I want to end the show the way I started the show. So I started the show and I asked E, with this being WrestleMania season, back in the day when you had to sell pay-per-views, and we remember during Nitro and Raw times where WCW would buy a 30-second commercial ad during Raw and say, turn the channel, watch WCW where the big boys play.
Nice.
WWF would do the same thing on WCW. They buy a 30-second time slot and say, 8:57, we're starting 3 minutes earlier. 7:57 back in the day. If you were in charge of AEW, you had a 30-second TV slot to highlight one woman wrestler, one man wrestler. Who are you highlighting?
still going to have to be on the woman's side, Mercedes.
Okay, we're 3 for 3.
Side,
we said that.
The side has to be Ospreay.
So we're 2 out of 3. I said Ospreay. E said Swerve.
I can see that. And really quickly, I know you want to end here. I will say, even though Swerve did not win, I feel like more people are behind Swerve now. And that could just be me projecting. But would you agree that the fandom for people wanting Swerve to win today is much greater than what it was a week ago?
I can't say that, but what I can say is the fans are with him. When there was the hope spot in that match where I think he was getting ready to do his finish off the top rope, his stomp, and a crowd came up for him. And just that fever pitch, and the crowd stood because they thought this was it. That's the first time I've seen that for him, probably like ever. Where the crowd is coming for you, you haven't even won, like legit, they're coming for you. And that's, once again, you're talking after midnight on the East Coast. They're there for him. So they're there for him. But were they there for him more? I guess we'll find out starting Wednesday on Dynamite, depending on maybe what his reactions are. Yeah.
Thank you for letting me come on like this. Not
thank
showing
you for,
my face.
Thank you for hopping up, coming on, doing your due diligence, bringing your women quality of the podcast. We appreciate you, man.
I'm not a woman podcaster. I'm a podcaster, damn it. I'm joking. I'm proud to be a woman.
We will talk about, of course, off air, what are we doing and what are we giving you guys for WrestleMania week? WrestleMania week is next week. We got to bring you guys a preview show, and we got other stuff happening where we got to talk about night one and night two. So we got to figure that out. So you guys will get content from us next week. I hate not being able to tell you what or how much, but of course, stay to our socials. We'll put them out there. Twitter, that's FNW. Instagram, that's FNW. YouTube, that's Freakin' Wrestling. That is where you can find us. We are still on the road in the march to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. If you have YouTube, watch us on YouTube. You get to see our incredible, beautiful faces and the awesome production value that comes with video. Tell a family member of the TFW podcast, the best kept secret in wrestling podcast. Today, we are out of here. We'll be back next week.